Hey guys, thanks for watching Ike Live. It's brought to you by Mystery Tackle Box. Please check them out. They've got a great product. Go to mysterytacklebox.com.
If you use the coupon code IkeLive, you get 50% off your first Pro Box. That's $12.50 for a almost $50 value of baits in this box.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ike Live. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. I know we are. We've got Mr. Randy Blockett on the phone right now. Amazing guest. Tour veteran talking about the history of the sport. We're going to switch gears here in a second and talk about the sport now, today. Let me remind you, if you're watching over on Facebook, take a second. Please like and share the feed. If you do that, you're going to be entered into a contest to win the world-famous Ike Live gift bag. Also, we want to hear from you. Please, if you have questions, comments, hit us up on the IM. Riz is going to put them through. Also, if you're watching over on social media, you can ask your questions through Ike Live Show, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Mike.
Yes.
One thing on the like and share.
Yes.
Guys, so right now we're at 37 shares. If we can hit 50 shares before the end of this segment,
yes. Rich will do 50 push-ups.
We're gonna swap the Ike Live hat out, and we're gonna put in one that's signed by you.
Oh,
so there's a little motivation, guys.
A little motivation,
all right,
to get up to 50.
Let's get those like and shares out there.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it yet, please like and share tonight's feed. Get yourself a chance to win the bag with a signed hat.
Okay. All right, Randy. Thanks for joining us again. I can't tell you, it's such an honor to have you on the show. I want to switch gears to talk about some of the stuff going on now. Before we do that, Dave, what do you got? I know you got some.
Yeah, Randy, I want to show you something. I want to see if you recognize this. Stand by.
This is awesome. This is like a show and tell segment of Ike Live right here going on. All right, here they go. This is awesome. Dave's got pork from the 80s, and he's got other stuff. He's like a hoarder.
This is like a secret.
All right.
Only Randy can see.
Oh, man. The block is creasy.
Yeah! Yes!
That's old school stuff right there, man.
You got to show the regular camera, too. Yeah, Randy, so this is another bait that a lot of guys up here in this part of the world, we loved it. We loved the bait. It was, when I think back, it was, there weren't a lot of big profile, big action plastics at the time, you know? Was it fun getting to design stuff like this?
Oh, yeah. That thing was probably over 30 years old, I'm guessing.
Yeah, these are at least 25, 26 years old. I got about 30 of them altogether, not used.
Yeah. That was back when I was with Lucky Strike. You know, that was back when Guido Hibden, Dion Hibden, Hun was with them at the time. And, we got to design some really cool stuff there. It's just down the road from where I live in Cassville, Missouri, down there.
Yeah, there really weren't any big heavy creature baits back then. Now, I brought them just so I can give him the mic so that maybe the next time you see him doing well, Berkeley has a prototype, you know, and maybe we can get these things back into circulation. I have the grasshopper color, I have straight back, and I have black blue flesh.
Grasshopper was a great color.
Yeah.
I love that color. Yeah, you're going to see it by Berkeley. It's going to come out at next iCast called Ike's Creature.
I was thinking maybe you call it like a bloquet creature. You know, like chicken croquet. It's not croquette, bloquette, croquet. I don't know, man.
That's a good idea.
It's whiskey time.
It's not a bad idea.
It's already started.
I know, it's already started. The tin cup, cup is flowing.
These are for you, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm serious about the prototype. Yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
No joke. The tin cup rise.
I appreciate that.
Is
it? On fleek.
Yeah, tin cup is good. We're drinking, by the way, if you're watching tonight, we are drinking the tin cup rye tonight. We're drinking it straight. We have some on the rocks. It's amazing. I invite you to try it.
It's a beautiful thing.
We're going to do a little quick toast with it, or what are we doing?
Yeah, we can do a toast. Randy, I want to change gears a little bit and talk about the sport today, you know, the present state of the sport. You know, again, I look at the sport, I look at the 80s and 90s, you know, you said even into the late 90s, early 2000s, as the heyday of the sport. Give us your opinion on the state of the sport here in 2020.
Like your straight up opinion.
Straight up opinion. And I know that's another thing. I want to mention this real quick, too. I so respect Randy. There's so many guys in the sport that don't speak their mind. And you do. And I appreciate that so much. We try to do that here on Ike Live as well. and sometimes we get a lot of criticism for it. I know you do. But give us your opinion of the state of the sport in 2020. More tournament organizations than ever. We got BASS, we got MLF, we got FLW, we got LMFAO, MPLAF,
NPLFL. National Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Yeah. National NPFL.
NPFL.
Yeah. Give us your opinion.
Well, we could talk all the out there, but it's sort of like for guys like myself that have been around it in a long time, we are resistant to change, and you simply cannot be like that because the sport right now is changing and morphing so quick before our very eyes that almost. It's not even recognizable. At first, what happened when I started noticing these big changes like 5 or 6 years ago, as far more tournament organizations, more anglers, I was sort of resistant to that because basically what happened is it made it really hard not only to compete and be consistent, but to stand out performance-wise and promotional-wise.
Yeah.
And to me, one of the things, the biggest challenges that we have in the sport right now is it's not like it was back, even like when you started out, Mike. It's like if you got hot and you did well in tournaments, you immediately got propelled to the forefront of attention. It's not like that right now because there's so many anglers, so many circuits that everybody gets watered down, even if they do good in the tournament. One of the things that I do like about it, though, and the thing that really gets me optimistic is the fact that with the advent of social media, that's creating some avenues for people to get into the sport and make a living at it that never would have the chance. And for example, I'm working full time with Johnny Schultz on and Fish the Moment on his teaching YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And Johnny is like, he's like a 25-year-old bass fishing savant. He doesn't fish tournaments, but his skill level in fishing is like completely off the charts. And he's been able to parlay that into a social media career and make a career through his avenues on Fish the Moment. And 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that wouldn't even have been possible. And from what we're seeing right now is from a marketing and a sponsor standpoint, the performance that you have in tournaments is secondary to your social media presence. And that's the biggest things that I see in 2020. It's like, and I've heard some of my sponsors say the same thing. It's like, we don't really care how you do in a tournament. As long as you're generating impressions through social media or your other promotional avenues, that's all it amounts to. Whatever that takes or whatever place that takes, that's what we want. And that, I don't think that can be understated about how big of a metamorphosis that is in our sport. Because, back when you won the Classic for the first time, down in Louisiana, I mean, that it was all about performance. It was all about marketing yourself through your performance because we didn't have the social media avenues that we have right now.
Yeah.
And so right now, the state of the sport where it's at, there's two different things. I really like the direction it is as far as opening it up with social media, getting more people involved to be able to make a living in the sport. But at the same time, on the performance side of it, I don't like where we're headed as far as this. And I talk about it, if you've seen some of my YouTube stuff, social media, I don't like the unlevel playing field that's being created from the financial separation that exists among anglers in the sport, because there's an element about that. And it's a combination of, whether it be boats, motors, electronic technology, entry fees, everything combined, it creates an unlevel playing field where one angler, you take two anglers that have the same skill set, and one of them is simply going to be successful simply because they have the financial resources to get to that point.
Yeah.
And back in 1985, it wasn't like that. I was washing cars and I was mowing lawns and I was still able to fish the Bassmaster tournament circuit. I couldn't do that to that right now. Right. If I wanted to professional angler in 2020 and get into the sport at the top level like I did back in 1986, I simply could not do it because I didn't have the financial resources. And that to me is the biggest downside I see in the sport, is just the ballooning cost of keeping up with expanding technology.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it a lot, you know, in some of my social media stuff. And I'm not against technology at all. I mean, like I said, I've learned so much from being around and fishing with Johnny Schultz, who's like an expert at offshore fishing and electronic technology. It's not that. What I want to do is, keep moving forward with technology, keep developing it. But at some point, we have to get to a point in the sport where you say, we have got to level this playing field, and you know, enough's enough, and you can only go so far with the cost of it.
Yeah.
And let's, where everybody's on the same field.
Yeah, I agree. We've brought that up a lot of times on this show. What do we need to do to get there, Randy? How do we change the sport so that it levels that playing field? How do we change the sport so that a young kid coming up with skill and talent and promotional promotional skills, he's the best in the game. How can he get there if he doesn't meet that criteria? If he doesn't have the money, he doesn't have the boat, the live sight, live scope, live down, live back. What if he doesn't have all that? How can he get there? How can we change that?
I think a lot of it is the responsibility of the tournament organizations to sort of like, you know, create that level playing field. And, you know, whether that comes from an equipment standpoint or an entry fee standpoint, that's something, that's a discussion that would have to be made on its own. But as long as you have tournament organizations that keep perpetuating these expanding entry fees and no limits on, you know, the type of equipment that you can have, every time that happens, there's a separation as far as the sport gradually becomes a little bit more of an elitist sport at that point. And I think that what happens is it's the tournament organizations just have to just step in and say, hey, we have got to set some type of limitations here where, you know, we just don't price ourselves out of the game, or some kid that has, you know, a mom and dad that just have modest incomes and they don't have, you know, a lot of money, that, you know, some kid's dreams aren't going to be crushed simply because he can't afford $40,000 a year in entry fees and a $80,000 boat to compete on this level with other anglers.
Yeah, it's the one problem we have with our sport. You know, when you look at other professional sports, we've talked about this on the show, is that there's not that natural progression like you see in other professional sports, right? If you're a baseball player or a football player, you work up through grade school and high school and college through skill to get to the top level. And there's an interruption in our sport.
There used to be more of that grassroots ability, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Football pads don't cost $40,000.
Like when you came up, Mike, you got to where you are through the federation.
When I was young, the federation program was a lot stronger. The grassroots level through the Bass Federation was stronger. But there was no high school and college program. So, you know, that's sort of balanced that out a little bit. But there's still an interruption, you know?
So we have two things going on here.
Yeah.
What you guys are talking about is how egregiously expensive it is to compete in tournaments, right? To be a tournament angler with the boat, the truck, the electronics. And I think, you know, we can have a conversation about the electronics deal, because I think that's the new one, you know. And talking to Pete – talking to Pete the other day, he brought up the fact that, like, hey – remember, they used to be capped at 150s, you know, 150 horse outboards.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and then that changed and it went to 250. Right. So the price went up and, you know, the game continued to change there. But as far as like people being able to make a living in the sport that may not come from means.
Yeah.
We already talked about it. It's YouTube.
It is YouTube.
They don't have a bass boat. They're walking the banks. They got a chesty on.
The Googans are a great example of that. The Googans are making more money than probably the top 10% of professional bass anglers that have busted their ass in tournaments.
And they have modest boats.
And I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, they didn't have boats when they started.
I'm just saying now that they're modest boats now. They're not. Yeah. They can afford what the top. Yeah, but, they have but, modest
but
boats.
But from a level of a sport, they're not competing, right?
No, but they're making a living in the in fishing.
But they're not competing.
That's where the line gets drawn is – do you just want to make a living in fishing? Do you want to just have your face all over YouTube and all in social media? Or do you want to compete?
Right.
Mike's
talking.
Do you
have that natural desire to win and you know, there's a different, there's a DNA difference there.
Well, let me weigh in.
Go ahead, Pete.
Let me weigh in here a little bit, because you're right, Brian, and Randy. Now, you know, you're right. It's getting out of control, but it's nothing new. Right. Like when we started fishing, it was 150 horsepower restriction. You know, we had modest sonar units. It was still tough. It was still tough to buy those boats. And I remember I started out on tour. I was out on tour with like a 6-year-old truck and a used Nitro at the time. And, you know, that's what I competed with out on the top 100 tour my first year, and scrambled everything I could get together, you know, maxed out my credit cards to get out on tour. And that was my situation. You know, I didn't come from means. So I just, you know, that's how I had to do it. And then, you know, they unlimited the horsepower. So now your boat price just got jacked, to be able to be competitive. And then the entry fees went up. So this process has continued. And when they switched to the Elite, Mike, do you remember the entry fees? I think it was like $1,500, or maybe you remember, Randy, for the tour of events.
1,500 started them. Yeah.
And then the Elites came out, and it was what, five grand. Tournament?
Yeah.
$5,000 per tournament. And I remember at that time just being furious, like, no, absolutely not. How can they be asking us for more money when I want them to, you know, we've already qualified and proved ourselves. We should be getting no entry fees.
Yeah.
You know, we should be moving in that direction. And I was so pissed at all the guys for ponying up $5,000 per entry fee at that time.
Well, that was a time when a lot of the guys made the move. That was a big breakaway from Bass to FLW.
Right. And that's what I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
I went over to FLW because I was going to, you know, here's the deal. And Randy, I love your YouTube stuff, by the way. I'm watching your YouTube stuff, and it's like it resonates with me. And I've been down that road, you know, same with you. But the pressures, the financial pressures that this sport applies to anglers and their families is just insurmountable in trying to compete. And, you know, I've been out there in those tournaments where if I don't catch a fish, I don't get to pay my mortgage, you know, that month. And that inhibits your ability to get in the zone.
Oh, no doubt. No.
Yeah, the suicide zone.
Pete. I think we just haven't created that structure. Has never, in all these years, it's 2020, and there still isn't that proper leveling structure to make your way to the top, at which point you shouldn't have to worry about these financial burdens.
Right.
Like, if you make it to the top, why do you have to take on the burden of the $50,000 entry fees?
Right.
Why?
Well,
there's
as a reward for qualifying for the top level, you get a $100,000 bill in today's tournament trip.
Yeah.
That's your reward.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a $100,000 contract, you get a $100,000 bill.
Right. Right. Well, let me ask some direct questions for you, Randy. Are there too many tournament organizations?
Yes, I think there are. I mean, I've lost count of all of them, not only just the tour level, but the AAA level tournaments as well. I mean, here's the thing about it. If they're filling the tournaments up, you know, it's like, you know, and it's a business for them, you know, what are they going to do? Just not have the tournaments? But for me, and the reason I say that is coming from, you know, more of the old school like that. It's just like it's sort of taken some of the magic away from the sport a little bit. It's just some of the things that made it, like we were talking about in the early 90s. It's like that's all gone. You don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling when you turn the shows on anymore. So it's like, but like I said, it's just, it's constantly changing. I mean, it's changing with the industry and with the demand of the anglers. But the big thing that I've noticed on this, sort of to that point, is that back when I started out, when I was in my early 20s, you know, we had junky trucks. We had, like Pete was saying, we had junky boats. we slept three or four guys on a rat infested motel, you know, go to the tournaments. And now I see these 20-year-old kids coming out there. They've got brand new jacked up Chevrolet trucks. They got a brand new boat. They're putting down 50 grand on entry fees. It's like, you know, where's this coming from?
Trust me, babies, just spoiled brats.
I mean, see, that is like the most, I don't know. It's like the biggest change that I've seen in the sport. And I look back for somebody like myself, you know, some kid from Southwest Missouri that just loves to bass fish and didn't come for money. I mean, I know there's kids out there like myself today, and it sort of makes me feel sorry for them.
Yeah. Let me hit you with another question. Is MLF, has it been a good thing or a bad thing for the sport? Different format, different philosophies. Has it been good or bad for the sport?
I'll be honest about MLF, Mike, with you on there. And here's my opinion on MLF. It's like my whole beef with MLF was the qualification criteria of how they selected the initial field.
Yeah.
Zero transparency, no qualification. If you wanted to compare social media following, performance, the amount of impressions people reach, and then you wanted to generate those 80 guys, that was not a fair format for that. And for me as a competitive angler and a lot of other anglers in that same format, that was the big problem I had with that. That being said, as far as the MLF format and everything, I don't have any problem with the format. I mean, the format to me is irrelevant to the fact that you're out there competing, and it's an interesting format. It throws a mix into the sport that, you know, gives it a fresh look.
Yeah.
But I just got a real bitter taste in my mouth about how the qualification went down on that.
Yeah. Yeah. As did a lot of people.
Boys Club.
Boys Club.
Same thing with sponsorship, you know? And you've gone on and said that sponsorship is not fair. And I agree. You know, the way that sponsorship is disseminated is not based on qualification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. There's a lot of injustices in the sport, but it's just sort of like that's the way life isn't in general. I mean, sponsorships. The whole key in sponsorships, and you guys, Pete and Mike, you guys have done this long enough to know a lot of it is just based upon the personal relationships you develop with people. And for some people, you just simply get along with people better, and some people you just don't click with them. And it's sort of the same with sponsorships. I mean, I pursued companies that I thought was a really good fit, and there was some type of an energetical difference between me and the company that never worked out. And I've had other companies where I didn't feel it was that great of a fit, but everything worked out perfect because there was that alignment personality-wise. So, that's just the way it's sort of always been with that. But in a perfect world, every sponsorship that was available would have an interviewing process where you went in and you interviewed for the position, and the most qualified individuals got those spots.
Yeah,
Randy, Kay Elliott on the message board wants to know, who was your first sponsor?
My first sponsor was Ranger Boats. I qualified for the All-American back in 1985, and I got a call from Forest and Nine and Wood to want to know if I wanted to be part of Ranger sponsor.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like they were both on the phone and called you?
Well, they were in the office, and Nina Wood called me, and she was in the office with Forrest, and invited me to be on the team there. And then my second big sponsor was Megabass in 1992, and since I've been with ever since.
85 was a great year.
Bears.
I mean, the Bears dominated people. I mean, Tubbs, Crockett was by Tubbs' bedside in the hospital when he got shot on that one raid. Like, dude, like Miami Vice. Like, it was on. I don't know, man. It's a very memorable
Miami
year for me.
Miami Vice. What's a good
you year? Actually brought a Miami Vice reference into this interview.
I just wanted to bring Tubbs into it. That's all, man.
Mike, remember Miami Spice?
Miami Spice. Yeah, the porno version of Miami Vice. I remember that.
I have to look that up later.
You brought something up, Randy. I want to talk a little bit more about it, which is why, after all these years, okay, you've been in it since the 80s, here we are 2020, why haven't the anglers themselves been able to organize better? Because I think a lot of this, I know I bring it up every show, but I want to know, I want to hear from Randy. I think a lot of this is brought upon ourselves. Why haven't we organized? Why haven't we created standards as a group of professional athletes ourselves? Why have we been unable to do that for 30 or 40 years?
Well, we tried back in the early 90s. I remember we were at the Bassmasters Classic. I think it was the one Robert Hamilton won at Logan Martin, and that's back when the PAA was just getting started. And basically everybody was fed up, and we came up with a list of demands that we wanted in this particular tournament to move forward as an organization. And we presented that to Ray Scott at the time, and he just flipped a lid. He just like said, "Hey, if you guys don't want to fish, that's fine." He goes, "I'll have 30 other guys here tomorrow morning that want to fish this tournament. You guys want to be like." So this has been going on a long time. And I think what happens is the biggest reason that anglers have not organized is the fact there's two different things. Number one, they got lives they got to lead. They're too busy. They don't have time or energy to put into what it takes to do that. And number two is some anglers are reluctant to lose their piece of the pie they have. And they figure that they're going to create a situation where they, lose some sponsors, they alienate some fans or sponsors, and it won't go well for them. But I think a lot of it is a combination of apathy and maybe fear a little bit.
Yeah.
And what has happened, there's never been one person that has emerged in this industry that has been able to completely organize that. I always felt that there would be somebody out there in this sport that was passionate about the sport and loved tournament fishing and had a huge financial empire behind themselves. And they're basically going to say, "Okay, we're going to change this. We're going to change the sport for good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bunch of money at it. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to have everything based upon integrity and honesty and doing the right thing for the anglers." Nobody has emerged in the sport as that type of leader yet.
I think the reason, Randy, is that you guys as a whole aren't willing to walk. That's it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. There's no fear.
It's that fear. Just like Ray Scott said years ago, "I can replace you all in 30 minutes."
Like you're asking why. That's why, Mike.
People haven't tried.
To this day, it's the same thing. There's somebody lined up. There's always somebody lined up to take your spot.
But I'm just saying, that's it in a nutshell, Mike, why you can't. If you guys aren't willing to walk as a collective, then it's not going to happen.
There's no collective.
But that's the missing piece. That's the missing piece, because if we could ever get to that point, and I would love to see it in my lifetime, I think we could get to the next level. You know, I think you could create standards. You could have all those things that we need.
I think it's where it's supposed to be.
You think so?
Possibly.
Okay.
I don't know if any of this is really happening. This has been the weirdest year ever.
Right.
So
it has been weird.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like, whatever, dude.
Like we're not here right now, or this whole freaking thing.
This 2020 is so full of shit.
Brian,
none of this is even happening. Randy Blockett, he's not even there.
Yo,
I hope that's really Randy.
Listen, Randy. I saw the best 2020 T-shirt. It was the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and the scientist was like, "Marty, whatever you do, don't go to 2020." It was amazing, dude.
That's a great shirt.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to go back to when you were sinking that boat. I want to be in your Ranger when you were sinking it at Bugs Island.
Dude, I remember
that's where I want to be.
Bros, I remember me and you at the floodgates.
Yes, we did it.
Yeah.
Because of Randy
Blockett.
I want to be there.
To get under that train.
Hell yeah.
We got my nitro under the trestle with Randy Blockett's techniques of
Hell
flooding the boat.
I want to do that. That's where I want to be.
Took the windshield off, flooded the
boat.
Hell
yeah. I want to be flipping that shit way behind the trees.
That's it.
Freaking hauling 4 pounds. That's where I want to be.
Randy, you know what I learned from you about 15 years ago up on Champlain? You were fishing bedded fish in super heavy winds with a spinning rod with 6 pound line, throwing the jerk bait on 6 pound line. I never would have done that until you did that at that event. That was pretty rad, dude. It was the only way to control the bait in that wind because it was howling.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Let me remind you, you're watching Ike Live. We've got a little bit more time. Randy, if you've got a question or comment, hit up Riz on the IMs and we'll get them through to Randy. Randy, I want to talk about – you've got some really cool stuff going on right now. I want to change the course a little bit and start talking about some of that. You are an amazing instructor. You've got some great instructional stuff. You've got a great YouTube channel going on that I'm getting addicted to the more I watch it. Talk a little bit about that. For guys watching right now, if they want to tune into some stuff you're doing, what do you got going on right now?
Well, the biggest thing I got going on right now, and it's the most exciting thing that I've done forever, is I've partnered with Johnny Schultz and his Fish the Moment website and our Fish the Moment YouTube channel. And I met Johnny when he was 8 years old. Him and his dad used to come to the tournaments, and I've known him since he's a little kid. And I had a guide trip at Table Rock this past March, and he was just down there filming a show. We happened to hook up and reconnect, and he basically invited for me to partner with him on Fish the Moment, which is an instructional fishing YouTube channel. And Johnny and I are filming two or three shows a week. We're doing podcasts. We're doing lake map breakdowns. We got a lot of different stuff we're doing on Fish the Moment. And it's a full-time gig for me in between the tournaments now. We're putting a lot of energy and emphasis into the content. It's all about teaching and giving back to it. And, you know, that's the thing about it, man. I'm 58 years old now. It's like I'm sort of at that stage in my career where it feels good to give back and it feels good to teach.
Yeah.
And that opportunity to do that with Johnny and watching his expertise and what he does, it's been really great right now. And on top of that, you know, I've been, you know, doing my own YouTube channel, which is I'm 101 low tech. I don't know how to edit. I don't those are graphic overlays. I just get on there and talk, and it seems to be going pretty well. It seems like people just like to, you know, hearing the old stories and, you know, a little bit of an unfiltered viewpoint of this sport.
I like it. I like that raw feel and stuff better.
And his delivery's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like when David Attenborough dies, Randy, you ought to like put a resume in over there and narrate that stuff. I'd listen. That's awesome. Hey, Randy, I got a question. Earlier you mentioned twice, like First Nations and American Indigenous peoples. Do you read a lot of that? Or because you mentioned it twice earlier, I'm just curious because I'm a study of it myself.
Yeah, I not only read a lot, but like I said, I've done a lot of wilderness survival schools that were based upon the Native American survival skills. And I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about the ancient Native Americans, the way they lived thousands of years ago with the stone tools, nothing man-made, that type of deal. And that's the thing that I've been involved with a long time. Not as much in the recent years, but there was a period, back in the 90s where I was super, super heavily involved with that. And same period, you know, Rick Klund, Gary Klein, Brent Chapman, we all went to the same school, that same wilderness survival schools, in the Pine Barrens there.
Now, the Pine Barrens.
Did you notice, as I have, that no matter which tribe you were looking into, whether it was the Blackfoot or the Apache or the Navajo, that they referenced a creature similar to Sasquatch? Did you notice that like I did?
Did they?
Randy, let Randy answer. Let our esteemed guest answer.
What? That's not true.
Let our esteemed guest answer. Randy, tell him.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that earlier.
Hold on. You didn't read any of the references
what?
That they had, the Keepers of the Forest. Nothing like that, huh? I'm the only one?
No, I must have missed that.
He's just still in the closet. I mean, you stood on the front of a boat naked. You shouldn't be out there.
I mean, there it goes. That's a bras maneuver right there.
Right there. I'm going to cut you down for being naked because you won't talk about my Sasquatch.
You didn't agree with me, so I'll put a jugular.
All right. I've got I'm looking at social media here.
That was a really good full circle, though. I'm
Thank
proud
you.
Of the attempt.
No, I tried. It's 50-50. Listen, there's a lot of references to that. He might not have read that. That's all.
All right, Randy, I've got a question coming through on Instagram from Philly Fishing, and he wants you to grade each of the tournament organizations from an A through an F. Dang. And we're going to start with Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Give it a grade.
Oh man, okay. I'll start out with Bass. I give Bass an A minus in what they're doing right now.
Okay, A minus. Okay. That's a good grade. Okay,
solid.
Great.
Real
solid.
MLF Major League Fishing.
I think that I'd probably give Major League Fishing. I'm going to give them a C probably.
Yeah,
he's trying to get a job. Yep. Look at that smile.
No, I think that's accurate. I think that's an accurate grade. FLW, Fishing League Worldwide.
I'm going to give them a D right now. I am not at FLW at all the last 5 years. I mean, I think they undermine. I think they snatched defeat out of the hands of victory just upon situations they made. So they get it right now.
Yeah. Okay. And last but not least, NPFL, National Pro Fishing League.
That's it.
You know, I don't really know much about them to even grade them, but as far as I give them a B for just their initiative. I mean, to be able to step in the competition that they're up against, that's pretty impressive. And I don't have anything to bad to say about them. I think everybody's waiting to sort of see how it's going to unfold.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Well done.
Nice grade work.
Great question.
That was a great question.
Randy, what are your thoughts on co-anglers? I watched one of your videos today, one of Randy's rants while you're driving your truck.
He hates them. I'll say it for you.
No, I don't have anything against the people that fish co-angler at all. That's not it. But, you know, the co-angler system, I'm not talking about the people, because the people are just like anyone else. They're great. Yeah. But the angler system has no place in competitive fishing, because it directly influences the outcome of the event.
Yeah.
And people like you, I mean, you guys have fished with co-anglers, you know what I'm talking about. I guarantee both you guys can give me stories just like I did today about co-anglers that cost you fish at some points based upon just getting you out of the flow or maybe picking off here or there.
Yeah.
But, everything needs to be a straight observer system in the pro-am format. That's the only fair way to allow you to maximize your day on the water, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's also a positive influence. Yeah. I won on Champlain due to a positive influence from a co-angler coming up with a bait choice that helped me solve my problem on day one in that tournament. And, you know, so yeah, there and that, you know, that gave me an advantage for sure. You know, so there's a positive and negative influence there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. Let me ask you this, Randy. I want to know what you think of this too, Mike, because this has come up a lot with the people that I fish with recently and talked to. Is there's a big call for a national team tournament trail?
Yeah,
like people love that. Like you said, Brent, there's a natural conflict between pro and co-angler, right? They're in their tournament, I'm in mine. Their fish hurt me, and mine hurt them. But as a team tournament, there's like this enthusiasm, this sync that goes on between the two guys. They're trying to compete together for the same cause, and people want a big time, you know, big money team tournament trail. What are your thoughts on that?
Do you mean a team tournament like the U.S. Open? Like the U.S. Open where you're randomly paired with an amateur?
Nah.
Buddy tournament. No. Like you pick your partner and against the other partners, the other teams in the country.
As long as there's cameras, man. Otherwise, it's going to be a cheap fest.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that side of it, you know, is keeping everything on the up and up. That would be the biggest concern, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be cameras like there is now, or else otherwise it's a cheat fest and the guys are going to be getting arrested.
Right.
Well, Mike, you fished a couple of those Toyota Bass Classics we did down there at Lake Fork when we teamed up as team. I mean, I thought that was cool the way we did that. We had four-man teams, remember?
Yeah.
And I love that. That was sort of a cool format, but I think that, and I also think a senior circuit would be great, a senior professional circuit.
Yep, I hope it comes sooner than later because I'm retiring in a few years.
Randy, you really just hit the nail right on the head there. The ethnic smurf on the message board asked seconds before you said that, will there ever be a seniors bass fishing league?
Wow.
How do you guys see that like coming together? Could that be a legit thing like there is in golf? League in golf?
I think it's got legs. I've heard talks of it before. I think it would be cool.
Ben Gay, Tiger Palm, Advil, Motrin, all the sponsors, all the non-endemics.
But can we do the senior tournament as a team tournament?
CBD.
Because who doesn't want to see like Denny Brower on a boat with like Tommy Biffle?
That's what I want to see. Honestly, I want to see the interaction. I want the you know, those events were the two pros in the same boat, because as a fan, as a viewer, I don't care about what you guys have to deal with on the water. I want to see that yeah. conflict. I want to see that interaction. Yeah. I want to see you guys fight over who gets the spots and who's got 4 hours and where you're running.
I want to see
that makes for good television.
Yeah. How about the senior league, though?
Say...
Sorry, this is good. How about the senior league? An old guy paired with one of the 9 million bikini YouTube fishermen chicks out there.
Oh yeah,
and they're in their YouTube.
What do you want them to kill over and die? Like, come
no,
on.
No, just to watch. Just I don't know. Just to hear the things they're saying.
You know, that sounds god awful, Dave. That's the worst idea you've ever had.
Hold on, now that's Brian. Is that a horrible idea? Old guy with a young bikini chick.
Not the worst idea you ever had. That's a bad one. Yeah. That's not the worst one.
It's not
Becky,
a great
I disagree. It wasn't the worst one.
Why? Why did the only women who get brought into the sport have to be some bikini bitches who can't even catch fish?
Well, because we're just, talking about the old guys, so why don't we make it balance?
But why? Why? Why'd we have to go there?
But why? They're doing it.
It's the yin and yang.
Why are you yelling at me? They do it. They're the ones doing
that. Well, as the only woman here, thank God I'm here to police you.
But no one's walking them off the plank to go fish in the bikini. They're doing that with millions of views. They're doing that. No one's making
they
them do
are,
that.
They are, but why would we have to bring them into the legitimacy of how fun it would be to see these old guys?
The same reason we're going to watch a bunch of old fuddy-duddies not say anything and just sit there with the camera staring at their
You think they're going to say nothing? You think
assless,
if you put Denny Brower on the stage with
their assless
Rick Clark, they wouldn't be going at each other?
Yeah, slunched over back, assless khakis.
I'm sorry, Randy.
Assless khakis. Assless khakis.
Why did you mean assless khakis?
Those are old. Assless khakis.
What are assless khakis?
Because you lose all the day, you get old. Yeah, it gets flat.
He just becomes a back with a crack in it.
That's it, and your back, your pants fall off.
Sorry, Randy Blockett. This doesn't usually happen until our esteemed guests get off the line. Making you sit here.
We jump the gun, the tin cup.
It's the tin cup.
Yeah. It's the second show in a row, Dave.
This is the only thing that comes to mind every time I have some tin cup, and it really is like the one thing, and it's this. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, here we go.
What is this?
Red Fox.
Oh, Red Fox.
Fox.
Oh, Red
Swallow
Fox
it, shut the fuck up.
I love Red Fox.
I'm sorry, Randy. We went downhill. We argued.
Riz, what else we got? We're going to let Randy go. We got anything else coming through for Randy?
Final question for you, Randy, from Frankie. And he wants to know, is tournament fishing for you as fun as it was when you started today?
Oh, great question.
Love that question.
Yeah. You know, it's fun, but it's also there's more complicated because, you know, as you get older and you get a family, you know, like I said, you have those distractions that come with life that allow you not to have that same type of a focus. So it's different, but it's also great because I still get out there. I mean, we just got done with our Bass Open at Rayburn this couple days ago. And the intensity that I feel on the water during the competition when you put that hammer down, it's the same as it was 30 years ago. I mean, there's nothing that makes me feel more alive when you're doing well in the tournament and you're in the hunt and you know that you're going to have a good finish even if you don't catch another fish. To me, that's what makes me feel more alive than anything. So it's still today just as powerful as it ever was.
Yeah, I agree. I feel that too. What's next for you, Randy? What do you see in the next couple of years? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm going to be working heavily with Fish the Moment, Johnny Schultz. Like I said, I'm fishing the Bassmaster Opens now. I'm in fifth place in the points. So if I make the elite, back in the elites next year. But the main thing is just really pushing forward with this, the teaching YouTube stuff we're doing with Johnny and on my own, and just sort of filling in with the tournaments in between. And, raising the family, like I said, I'm married and got four kids we're taking care of. So, you know, you guys know how that full-time job just that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Randy, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. Yeah. Honestly, you have been an inspiration, not just to me, but for so many people. The angler I am today is a lot from watching you. And I from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate what you do. So
pantsless.
Much. Yes.
I appreciate that, too. For you, Mike, I mean, that's the same. I hear it all the time. I mean, just the same with you, man. You've contributed so much to the sport that will last forever, man. I don't think you even realize it's – I mean, you were really the first person that kicked it way out to the next level as far as what is acceptable to be as a professional angler. And, you know, everybody references that, and, you know, your contribution to the sport has been just massive.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I love it just like you do. It's my passion, and just, you know, I love the sport, so I know you feel the same way.
Yeah.
Randy, thank you very much for coming on the show. Randy Blockett, everybody. Icon of the sport.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you were.
That was a pleasure. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
You knocked the curve out of everybody's hat. You know what I mean?
I did. I knocked the curve.
Straight brim hats, dude.
Knocked the curve right out of those MFers.
Knocked it right out.
But it's funny. I brought it up to Randy, Pete. I wanted to hear his opinion. He gave a great answer. You know, I have had so many people, you know, that hate what I've done, that think I've ruined the sport. And I know he's had the criticism, too. And I think it's great that he, you know, he just keeps doing what he's doing. You know, he's the same person he was back then. He's very outspoken, and that's great. He's sticking true to who he is. That's how it should be. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I like what he's doing on YouTube because you get to hear him. Like, you know, Randy's voice is being relatively quiet, and he's opened up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing to hear, you know, his opinions and the good, the bad, the controversy, and all that kind of stuff. It's and that's what social media is allowing everybody to do. I'm glad he's embracing it.
Yeah,
You need controversy.
Yeah.
Well, he delivers though. He delivers his objections to things in such a dignified manner, though. It doesn't.
You're right, Dave. Yeah. He does.
He's a great.
He doesn't come off like he's like whining.
He's
complaining.
A great.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. He's very articulate.
Yeah.
He's very, you know. He thinks about the things, you know, very deeply, and really does a good job with it.
Yeah.
What's up, Ben?
It's literally crushing my ear. I had to
every
shift
time
it.
You grab it, it makes noise. Yeah. It's like a rustling.
I'm moving
noise.
The ear. It is crushing. Try wearing earrings.
There's
going
to be people listening to this on their drive, on their 13-hour drive.
Well,
hold on, back.
The rustling sound is me. I'm sorry, people, but the freaking thing hurts your ears after a while.
Beck, don't take no shit from him. He chews into the microphone. He screams. His voice is up. It's down.
Oh, all right. I promised you I would talk about this. I want to talk about it real quick.
Yeah.
Dr. Squatch is a great sponsor of the show. Of course, you know the soap. They've got candles. They've got some great products. This is a new one. This is Dr. Squatch toothpaste. Now, listen to this,
Dave. Let me smell that.
Listen to this.
It feels heavy.
This is incredible. I want to tell you about this. This is coming from the heart. They have a morning and evening toothpaste.
What?
Think of how genius this is. Okay?
Right. Explain.
In the morning, so they've got a citrus mint, which to me it's a lot like – it's like having a mimosa, like an orange juice in your mouth in the morning. It gets you started, right? They're saying here ginseng, green tea, vitamin B12. Dude, did I say that right?
No.
It honestly feels like you get going in the morning. Smell that one. Give me that one.
Hold on. You can definitely smell the zang. That's what they call it in West Virginia, ginseng, the whole zang.
And the night one, which I think is awesome, and at night you kind of want to feel relaxed, right? You're tired. You want to go to sleep. This is soothing spearmint. And we've got
chamomile
in this thing. We've got saw palmetto.
Yeah.
And something else that I
Valerian.
Valerian.
Chamomile certainly activates
the
mouth.
I will tell you, having to be the person that sleeps next to him, he has only used Crest like his entire life.
I was a normal dude. I just buy Crest.
You got good teeth.
I got okay teeth. This thing's great. And this is also, both of them are fluoride free, and they have natural whitening agents in them. So if you want white teeth, Pete.
It's actually a very like natural, nice, scented.
It's actually really nice.
Chamomile is a known stimulant for melanin also.
Melatonin?
No, melatonin's your skin color.
No, that's melanin.
Melatonin's. Well, whatever the one.
Whichever melatonin is. Helps you sleep at night, Dave.
Melatonin helps you sleep at night.
We're having a fight here.
Melanin's your skin tone. You were right, just backwards.
It helps that,
there's
too.
The answer is in the bottom of that.
Pete's talking to himself.
What's Pete? I'm sorry, Pete.
Go ahead, Pete.
I said the answer is in the bottom of that tin cup.
Damn right. We need like a Max Headroom face in here when you're talking, like a hologram, so I can like. It's hard to sometimes Brian don't have you up, you know. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know you're talking.
Well,
sorry, Pete.
I, it's hard to be remote, you know.
Yeah. Especially when there's no virus. Right?
Well,
I want to say something.
There's no virus and pizza no Sasquatch.
Fire. All right, go ahead, Ben.
I want to say something that Mike and I had a conversation earlier today. There was a very interesting just comment about our show, and it was pretty awesome to have Randy Blockett on tonight.
Yes.
That kind of drove home this conversation that we had earlier today.
Yes, listen to this.
Nudity.
No, listen to this.
No, this is actually kind of important.
Listen to this.
Randy very much epitomizes this conversation that we had, which also is who Mike has been, which is what Ike Live is. We are not the normal in this bass fishing world. No. We're all highly opinionated people.
Yes.
We're unapologetic for our opinions.
Yep.
But no one here, Randy, Mike, Ike Live crew, a lot of the people that we associate with, there's no harm in what we say. It's just our opinions.
And it's
to open people's eyes that their opinions beyond what this bubble and bass fishing very much. We talked about that Ray Scott conversation. Like, well, if you disagree, then I'll find someone to replace you.
Yeah.
That's not fair. It's been the way the world works.
It's been a very bad, jaded culture in professional bass fishing for a lot of years, where you're not supposed to step out of the boundaries.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to voice your opinion. You're not supposed to be different, right? And I'm glad we're bringing this up because it's okay to have your own opinion.
Yeah, it's
Christ,
Dave, it's an opinion.
You have the weirdest opinions out of everybody.
Well, his opinion's
and we love
not
you
a opinion,
because of that.
It's called life experience.
It's called
not
life
an opinion.
Experience. Pete has opinions. Brian, we all have different opinions, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Right? So what we say on this show, it might not be fact. It might not be 100% correct. It's our opinions.
I'll speak for myself. I'm sorry to you guys for about half the things I say
when I'm reminded of it. I got two things to say in regards to Becky's comment, which I agree with, but I do apologize for Dave's comments pretty much every Monday after a show, whether it be to the guests we had on that night or somebody else in fishing.
Yeah, but it is okay to have a differing viewpoint.
Oh, dude,
I mean, come on, man.
It's just an opinion. And here's the thing, dude. Nobody should ever be married to their thoughts, right? Like, listen.
We all.
If you're not growing and learning and evolving, what are you, right? Like my brother. Threw this out years and years ago. He's like, if I let my kids get tattoos when they were 3 years old, they'd all have a tricycle tattoo to their face.
You know, it's like, so true.
Yeah, they would have. We would all have tricycles tattooed on our face.
Mike Tyson.
We learn, we grow. So that whole thing, Randy's
perspective was really wonderful, how he said that everybody's worried about the pro anglers are worried about giving up their piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps the pro anglers from speaking, from putting their opinions out there, because they're worried that they're going to lose it. And we feel so, fortunate that we're able to go out there and fish for a living. That's ridiculous. Like, you get to go out and catch bass for a living. That didn't happen a few years ago, and now it exists. And when, the pressure gets put on us and, you don't want to step out. And like when I started, Mike, and I kind of influenced you that way. It's like, no, you can't do that because, it's going to go bad for you because, you don't want to lose this wonderful thing that we have,
Yeah.
And you stepped out and you showed and you really were the. Well, Randy was too. Like you said, he stepped out. He stepped out and did that shoot. That was big.
That was big.
Rick did too. They stepped out and you took their lead and ran with it.
Yeah.
And that was the way to go. That really was. But most guys are terrified. They're terrified to step out for fear they're going to lose the one sponsor that's paying their entry fees.
Yeah.
And then what are they going to do?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line, it's okay to be different. It's okay to have your own opinion, Like, I want everybody to have their own opinion. What you hear on this show,
it's not necessarily the fact.
It's just
our
guys
opinion.
Drinking and having fun
it's
about
just
something.
Just our opinion. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, but you know what? Everyone should really kind of try to model themselves a bit about, slightly about how we roll with things here on Ike Live. Because if you notice, we don't all have the same opinions.
No, we don't all have the
same
opinions.
And we'll go at each other, but not in this, like, horrible, I'm not going to be friends, talk to you later kind of way.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a week.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. The electric fence, I turn up the knob a little bit on the electric fence sometimes, but I turn it back down.
Side note about Brian's brother. Like, Brian's big brother was incredibly cruel to me when I was a kid, but... If Brian's brother, he was very cruel to me. But if he was around in 1776, like he has great quotes, like Thomas Paine, it would have been Bill Stockel.
Yeah, and he's got the beard.
He's
too.
Got
he's
great
got the, he's
quotes.
Got the face. Your brother has the face, the beard. If your brother was back in the day, he'd have been a president or something.
Bill's cool to talk
Vice
to,
president.
Man.
Like congressman, at least. Yeah.
He'd have been a carpenter.
At least.
Or a carpenter, yeah.
That was our philosophical moment.
But again, listen, if you're watching or listening right now, we've had some calls after the last few shows from disgruntled people that are taking stuff the wrong way. Listen to me.
Oh, in the industry?
Yes. It is our opinion. It's the Ike Live Show's opinion. It's just our viewpoint. That's that. That's all it is. And it should. And it shouldn't be
make
wrong.
Make me feel bad on the way home.
As
I drive by my broke down truck.
It shouldn't be wrong to have your own opinion. Everybody should have their own opinion. And here's the other thing, though.
Your mind open.
We're not going to apologize if you want to have a different viewpoint.
Brian.
I'm not going to apologize.
I pretty much have to.
If you want to have your own, look.
That's pretty much my job.
If you want to have your own viewpoint, have your own viewpoint. We encourage that. And get your own damn podcast, because this is ours.
Or call us. Let's talk it out.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Tin Cup. I can feel the energy has shifted.
Energy shifted.
That Tin Cup rye is
warm in my belly.
I usually always drink rye on the rocks. I like drinking it.
Yeah,
off
the rye is banging.
The Tin Cup bottle.
You know what? Pete Glusick, you are missing out.
You're missing it, Pete.
I know.
Why am I missing out, Tin Cup?
This
rye is really good, because I am very picky about my bourbon and my whiskey. Am I not?
Oh, you're very picky about it.
I like the rye.
Pete, what if Brian gives you one of his asbestos masks from the back of the truck? Asbestos.
Asbestos. I love
will you come in then? If it blocks asbestos, it's got to block the SARS, COVID-19.
No, asbestos is a particulate. It's much different.
Go ahead. Here, hold on.
Right.
Wait for it. Here comes.
So SARS is 0.03 microns. You know how many microns asbestos is?
Bigger.
It is. I don't know what it is.
That's really good, though.
No, it is 0.03 microns. And that mask you wear, Pete, that you think's protecting you, they operate around 17 microns. So there's your whoobie for you.
I'm
right?
protecting you by wearing that.
Unless you're wearing the N95,
nice.
Pete, you're not doing anything. That mask is do the research. It's 17 microns,
what?
Dude.
It's actually breaking up the particles to be smaller to move through the mask.
No, I listen to scientists talk about this. This isn't me, obviously, because I don't know. I heard this and I listened to it and I watched it.
I just saw Sasquatch out my window. Somewhere. Wait a minute.
Get an N95.
I just have a Sasquatch sighting.
Hey,
what?
Mount Laurel Sasquatch.
So is Jay Kumar crazy or is it just me?
Probably. He's mimicking the robins. I can hear it. Wait,
Well, you better watch out because they.
Wait, let me play.
I like that it was loons.
Listen, let me play it. Wait for it.
Hey,
damn, Pete's snapping.
Oh, that's because I hit him hard with the mask, you know.
But he came back. He held his own.
Have we touched on everything that we have to discuss?
I don't know.
Because I do have to educate small children in the morning.
Yeah, we're touching everything.
I had a thought a minute ago.
Being like a crazy homeschool mom now.
No, we have to e-learn 3 days a week. I have to be their teacher. Okay.
Yes. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping, and then we're going to wrap the show up. Riz, we did a amazing like and share contest throughout this show for our viewers over on Facebook, and we're giving away, of course, the world-famous Ike Live gift bag. Load it with Ike Live sponsors. Weighs over 20 pounds. What do we got, Riz? You want to pick a winner?
We sure do. Okay. Just give me Give me a minute or two here to throw it into the into the randomizer.
We're going to give Riz a minute to
Oh, here's another little thing. So we've got our kayak. Well, I moved it away because y'all were mad at me.
Okay.
So we have our kayak tournament clearly coming up at the end
of the
month.
What's the age group on it? I'm sorry, I meant to ask that. How old do they have to be to compete? Can they be any age? Like, can David at 12?
He could be. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, as long as he can manage by himself in a kayak and everything, yeah. And you sign off.
We'll be
on
together.
The
you know, we'll be together the whole time.
But for sure,
Okay.
But there's another great tournament coming in October, I'm pretty sure.
October?
Yes, friend of all of ours, Aaron Martins.
Oh, Aaron,
There was a tournament organized
tournament
for him.
Coming up. Yep.
And I do believe that's in October.
I think you're right.
I found it on Facebook.
Around here?
Yep.
It's an online tournament.
Oh.
Yep, but huge prizes. Like, doesn't somebody win like $40,000 or something
Insane.
First place?
Insane.
That's great for somebody in Florida or Texas.
Yeah, well, they might have different divisions. They might. I don't know.
But that's not the point. The point is Aaron.
The point is that I think all the entry fees go to help them.
Love that guy.
And the medical expenses.
Yeah, we're all still thinking about Aaron every
Absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. He's a great dude.
Great guy. Brian DeCarpenter had a little, let's see here. That's for the end. Pete, what do you got? Anything, last words for BU? Want to give a little BU shout out before we go here?
Well, Jay, listen up Tuesday night. Edwin Evers. We're going to be talking about how to prepare for multi-day tournaments and championship tournaments.
Very cool. I like that.
Yeah. It's a pretty detailed Bashy Live. Check it out. 7 p.m.
It's, it's the best X's and O's fishing podcast. I like what you turned it into, Pete. I like how it went from a seminar type thing. Can I compliment Pete after insulting him? I'm trying to make up.
Oh, my God.
I like how you turned it from like an educational speech type format to just like a podcast with X's and O's. That's
all me.
Still on. This has been.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
This has been a great show.
Thank you, BG.
We're gonna in a second here. We're gonna pick the Facebook winner, but I want to thank Randy for coming on. That was great. Randy Blockett joining us on the show. Unbelievable.
Like, I wonder if he realizes, like, we talked about him when we were in our teens and 20s.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, we would talk about him sitting around having drinks.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great.
Like, did you see what he said? You know, like, we did that.
It's unbelievable. I want to thank everybody here on set tonight. Becky, Dave, Riz, Brian DeCarpenter, and Pete Glusick. Thank you for joining us here on Ike Live. And Riz, we got a winner.
We sure do, Mike. Congratulations to Christopher Shaw. Christopher Shaw.
Christopher Shaw.
Thank you for sharing tonight's feed to not only his personal page, but several locations.
There you go.
Congratulations, Christopher Shaw. I will be reaching out to you via social media to get your contact information.
Riz totally sounded like The Price is Right. Like, you know the announcer on Price is Right?
Yeah,
that was Riz right then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Riz could sell carpet on online if he wanted to, like on the radio, you know? Like, you got a great voice.
Carpet?
Are you going to sign the hat?
BU Carpet. Yeah, we'll sign that hat.
Hey, can I give a teaser? I want to give a teaser for the Ike Foundation.
Sure.
Speaking
of
The Price is Right. Mm-hmm. So, most likely, we are not going to be able to hold our scholarship dinner.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Wait, what?
This February?
This February, because
COVID,
most likely we will not be able to gather that many people in a space.
Let's wait to decide that until November,
November
3rd.
3rd.
Being realistic about the reality of this situation. So we've been brainstorming, like, what do we do, you know, because ultimately that's how we do the scholarship. That's how we
fund the Chinese auction.
That's how we pay for most things throughout the year.
Fucking China.
Anyways, so here's the idea we came up with, and we're really working through the details, and we're kind of excited, and you all are going to be sucked in because you're going to have to be involved. A telethon. Jerry Lewis style.
Yes.
Telethon.
Telethon. Man
Tin
in the
cup
phone.
Of founder's
ring,
beer.
Ring.
Oh, hell yeah. We'll be
Tin cup of founder's
hell.
Beer?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What, we got to call people?
No, they call us.
They call us.
We entertain them.
We have guests.
They call in and they.
Jerry Lewis telethon.
Come on, you remember?
TV?
Like, people call in,
they'd
ring,
have
ring.
Celebrities.
We'll get
they
some, we'll get some bikini
they
YouTube
have athletes. They have people come through. We're going to have, we'll get Ed to come out, skit. We'll have a musician. We'll have some people play.
Yeah.
Aaron Lewis,
and people call and make a donation.
Come on.
I'm there. Tell me what you need.
We'll have The Rock do a little special shout out for us.
Pants off.
Did you see The Rock bass fishing?
Yeah, he's been bass fishing a lot lately. COVID.
Can he even, like, catch? I mean, he's big.
Yeah, we can cast.
How we could do it.
Tell that's not a bad idea. I like the Chinese auction in person, but I mean that's cool if we can't do that.
It's good.
Yeah, it sucks.
We gotta be realistic.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
God, it's
fish. I wanna go fish.
Here's the other problem. Most weddings were canceled and postponed until February. Yes. So it's very hard to get a location as well.
It's a double-double.
Double-double.
Look at the tails on that thing.
How many guys survived a bad marriage because of this, right? Like the wedding got postponed, and they found out, like, that piece of information that they needed to find out, like, you know, and it was enough to be like, yeah, no. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not marrying you.
Like the wife farts every night?
Who knows what it is? It could be a skeleton.
Not Dave's wife.
No, it could be a skeleton, you know, like, who knows, dude? Skeleton in the closet. Skeleton in the closet.
What are you talking about over there, Bob?
Well, if the skeleton's in the closet and there's a 6-month delay in the wedding, then you find out what she's got, what the broad's hiding.
The broad! Save yourself a few dollars on that.
No, at least $8,000 in coding the honeymoon. Look at Pete, not even smirking.
Listen, if you made it this long, you might as well just elope.
No, but I'm just saying, there's a guy who got saved by this. There was silver lining, and he's like, dude, you'll never believe what I learned because of this. Like, I'm telling you. Yeah, no, sure, broad got saved too, but whatever.
Yeah. So, how does your mind go to this?
Broad got
from
saved
scholarship too, dinner to saved weddings.
Yeah. Because of the postponement. That's what led me down that road.
Yeah. All right.
What a great show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Once again, want to thank our guest, Randy Blockett, for joining us. Brian, we got something cool we're going out to. And before that, I do want to tease something also. Big guest coming up in one of the Ike Live shows in the next month or so. Jim Jones, Bass Fishing, will be joining us live on Ike Live. I'm very excited.
You've actually spoken to Jim Jones?
No, I just threw that out there.
Go get him, Bri.
Bri, we need Jim Jones Bass Fishing to come.
All right, I mean, all right.
Hey, there's a lot of people who think they know who Jim Jones is. It'd be fun to have Jim Jones on.
We need to have Jim
I
Jones
I don't even
on.
Know what this joke this is. I'm sorry.
Jim Jones.
Remember we had Randy Flowers on?
Yeah.
It's basically an internet troll.
So there's a new guy?
Yeah, it's a new internet troll, yeah.
Because I'm about to delete my Twitter that I just created.
Already?
Yeah, I am. I can't take it.
Oh, you're all in. Dude.
You can get Sasquatch info on Twitter.
You got serious clout on Twitter already.
Clout.
None other than Luke Duncan is like, yeah, I follow him.
Bro, I was, Luke Duncan was texting me today, and he's like, yeah, I follow Dave on Twitter. He's really deep in on them politics. He's got some fucking thoughts, huh?
Man. Keep it.
I go after the guys that go after the cops. That's what I go after, and the soldiers. That's it, man.
I like it.
It's a tough battle, dude. It'll.
But he has a target. Let him have his target.
Yeah, no, but I gotta tell you, like you were saying earlier about your haters. Like,
yeah.
I was ready to hit the mattress. It's like, you fucking cunts.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
How can you say that about this guy that you've never seen stay hours when we're all trying to leave a place, talking to every kid and listening to everybody's fish story sincerely? Not even with a washed over look at DMV on your face. Like, you seriously care. No, but you seriously care. Like, and this guy's saying that, like, you don't know him, you motherfucker.
Dude, that's people on the internet.
And it gets back to this whole thing. Too many people are judging. Too many people.
Too many people need to be slapped upside their heads.
Remember how you felt on 9/11 and treat the world the way you felt
there
then.
You have
and
it.
Never talk to anybody on social media.
That's a good point.
Different than if they were like right in front of you.
Yeah.
Pretend they're right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
But if you otherwise, dude, go fuck yourself.
What do I always say about the miserable people? Let the miserable people be miserable.
That's true.
Like, why go down that miserable trail with them?
Yeah.
Be happy. Yeah. Let them go.
This is amazing. This is like 20 minutes of just drunken.
We're leaving. We're not.
And this will be the best part of the show. People are like, I love the commentary. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. What a great show. I want to thank all our sponsors, including Mystery Tackle Box, Tin Cup Whiskey. We've got the Fisherman's Fishing Planet. All of them. And Dr. Squatch got a great new toothpaste, mybookie.ag. Please check it out.
Go make yourself some money, people.
There you go.
Get that money.
Have a good one. Brian, sign us out to something good. What do you got?
I got our buddy Sean McKay. As a matter of fact, in 2 weeks, not this Tuesday, the following, we're going to do a co-angler show. Sean McKee's a local guy.
Yes.
He kicks ass on the co-angler side. He's very, very, very good record. But this was him driving home from the Potomac 2 days ago.
Disgruntled?
He had a tough day. whatever his co-angler shit he does didn't work in this event. It was a tough event. Yeah. Plus it's the draws. You get a shitty draw. Yeah.
We're metalheads, and I don't know who the hell this is.
Yeah. It's Converge.
All right.
Here we go.
Come on.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
What the? Is there sound?
Yeah.
My shit's hammered down. Oh my god.
No, it's the most rad thing ever, dude.
Wow.
Here it is, guys. Take your headsets off.